Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
I want you to take your bulletins this morning, and there is a note sheet on the bulletin. I want you to go hide it someplace, throw it away, do whatever, because I am not preaching this message. The Holy Spirit stirred something in my heart. I had enough time to make one slide. Don't even know if that's truly the title, but that's what we're talking about. Actually, we're talking about supernatural power. Part of it is through prayer, and we'll focus on prayer. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians this morning, the 10th chapter. I'm reading from the NIV this morning, so electronically get your NIV Bible out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Holy Spirit stirred something within me, and I am going to challenge you. I'm going to step on some toes this morning. I hope I step on your toes in the name of Jesus. And yes, I will finish that series about shovels, because that's really good too. But this morning, I just need to talk to you about something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As Kim was making her comment, I don't do this often, so hopefully when I do, it is truly of God, that I feel that I just need to set aside what I spent a week preparing. Actually, it's been longer than a week. But I think there's a now word right now for today, for now, that poured into my heart earlier today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. Apostle Paul wrote this to a church that was suffering, it was persecuted, it was divided. They were trying to figure out how to live out this Christian walk. They didn't know everything that we know. They didn't have the Word of God in their hands. So he's teaching them and instructing them, and he reminds them of this. He says, for though we live in the world, means we live right here on planet Earth, we live with the worldly systems, we live with our governmental systems, we live with our economic systems, we live with everything that's going on in the world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. A song that has been, we're going to continue, so keep them on your lap. I just taken an aside here. A song that has been kind of cleansed from a lot of people's, a lot of denominations' hymn books. When I used to fellowship more with other individuals in the small town that we were in, from the Methodist Church and the Lutheran Church and others, one of the songs that got cleansed from their hymn books was Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching As to War. Oh, it was too violent. It was too this. It wasn't the love of Jesus. What did this say? We do not war. We live in the world, but we do not war. We are in a war. Are you doing battle? Paul's going to talk about what we need to do battle properly. We're in a war. People of God in this church, I can't talk to every church, well, I can talk to some people who listen online, but right now you hear, wake up, you're in a war. And if you are awake, this is just a reminder, you're in a war. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Excuse me. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. It's not your fist. It's not your knife. And I've got, I don't have a Crocodile Dundee. He had a really cool knife. This is my knife. It's a wimpy knife. I'm not going to do a whole lot of war with this knife. I can open some boxes with it. But by golly, I have lost a bunch of these to TSA. They don't like my knife on an airliner. Do you know I was at a theme park once? I forgot to take this out of my pocket. I was parked out in the back 40. I get to security, they see my knife, they make me take it back to my car. I don't know how many rides I missed in that walk back out to my car, but we're still not going to wage war with a weapon like this. No, we don't wage war with guns. Knives and swords and atomic weapons. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Say those two words with me. Divine power. Say them like you mean it. Divine power. It says you already have that. The weapons we fight with. Remember, we're in a war. Got your weapon? Got your weapons? The weapons we fight with, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets it up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Going back to verse 4, and verse 4, yes. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Hello, I'm back. You have been told, and you don't even know you've been told this, but I know you've been told this because I know how you're acting. Why? Because I'm really judgmental. That's why. No, because that's the way I act sometimes. We have been told that our weapons are impotent, powerless. The Bible tells us that we have weapons of divine power, but in this building right now, I'm going to ask you some questions. You're not going to raise your hand specifically. I'll have you raise your hand for some. But I want you to think back, and as you think back, you're going to realize that if you hadn't used that weapon, you've been convinced that it is powerless. I want to tell you a story. I read this in a book many, many years ago. As I said, this message poured into my heart. I didn't pull the book back up. I didn't verify this information. I'm just going to tell you the story as I heard it in a book. Back in World War II, some of you will remember that the British Isles, England, was being attacked by the Germans who would fly across the English Channel and drop bombs, but the Germans had developed another weapon. It was one of the very first rockets. These rockets were being launched from across the English Channel onto England. They weren't guided like our weapons are now, laser guided, and so that they can hit just these targets that are so specific. The Germans were lobbing rockets, shooting rockets over into England, wondering where they were going to fall so that they could begin to adjust where the rocket fell, so that they could hit the targets they were hoping to hit. Here's what the crafty British did. The Germans had no way, like we do today through satellite technology and through other ways of taking photographs, they didn't have that the way that we do today to find out where these rockets hit. So what the British did is, in the newspapers, they would lie about where the rockets hit. If a rocket hit in central downtown London, they showed a picture of a small farmhouse out 60 miles away that had been demolished by something, and they said, German rocket destroys farmhouse in small community. Well, the Germans had spies in the British Isles that were reading all of the newspapers, and they were sending back the information based on what was being put into the newspapers as to where these rockets landed, what they destroyed, and they readjusted the trajectory of where they were shooting their rockets based on the information that they were getting in the English newspapers. Did my story make sense? Because I'm doing it from memory. Are you following it? Did it make sense? The enemy has fed you information that what you're doing is not making a difference, and you're believing the false newspaper story about the effectiveness of your weapons. The Germans were shooting their rockets or figuring that their rockets didn't work based on false information. The Bible says that you have weapons that are powerful, divinely powerful, supernaturally powerful for the tearing down of strongholds, the devil's strongholds. But I'm going to now ask you a couple of questions. I want you to answer them inside, no raising of hands. The first one I will ask you to raise your hand. How many of you believe that prayer works? Hands up. Okay, fine. Some of you haven't quite got the story from England and you didn't put your hands up, but that's okay. Now, let me ask you another question, not with a show of hands. How many of you have prayed for something so significant this week that only God could make it happen? You've prayed over your food, you've prayed for traveling mercies, but have you prayed for anything significant, so significant that if it happened, somebody's lives or your own life would be incredibly transformed? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but when I've been challenged with that question, it was like, oh my goodness. I just spent the last week, and yes, I prayed for traveling mercies, and yes, I prayed for a blessing on my food, which actually comes from one of the best food processing nations in the world. There are heathens who have never uttered a word of prayer that are eating the food, and it's not going bad. They didn't need to pray that it would be healthy to their bodies. Okay? Not that we shouldn't. But have you prayed for something significant? Have you prayed for something significant? Have you done battle against the forces of darkness in your prayer life this week? If not, somehow the enemy has convinced you that prayer doesn't really matter. Just like the British convinced the Germans that their rockets were not doing any significant damage. For many of us here this morning, our prayer life is virtually powerless and impotent because we have begun to believe not what the Word of God says. How do you know? How do I know that you believe that? How do I know that I believe that? Because I don't practice it. We believe what we really believe, we practice. And if we believe that something happens when we pray that doesn't happen when we don't, if we believe that the weapons of our warfare were powerful for the tearing down of strongholds, would we not be praying more than scrolling? So I'm here to challenge you this morning by the Holy Spirit, I hope, to look at what you really believe by what you currently practice, because the enemy has convinced many of us subtly that it really doesn't matter. I'm going to ask for a show of hands on this. And please don't feel bad if you can't raise your hand for this, okay? But I want you to have a show of hands. How many of you here this morning have a prayer language in tongues? A prayer language in tongues. How many of you here this morning have a prayer language in tongues? Thank you. You can put your hands down. How many of you have significantly prayed in tongues this past week? Okay. I didn't need to show hands. That's okay. I didn't want to embarrass those who couldn't put their hands up. But I'm glad that you have. Kim's going to stop coming. No, she won't. Why? Because we've been convinced that it really doesn't matter. I believe it's one of the strongest weapons that we have. For the Bible says that when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying perfect God-ordained prayers. We are praying prayers that have divine power attached to them. You have been given this divine power, and have you used it regularly? If you haven't, the enemy has convinced you that really it doesn't really matter if I pray in the Spirit. Now I'm going to challenge somebody else, not with a show of hands. If you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with your prayer language, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, why have you not been seeking and seeking and seeking and seeking? For the weapons of our warfare are powerful, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive what when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Power. And what are the weapons of our warfare? They have what? Two words. I had you repeat them. What are they? Divine power. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, your prayer language in tongues, our divine power given to us by the Holy Spirit, given to me by the Holy Spirit for the casting down, the tearing down of strongholds. Pastor, you're getting worked up. You know what? Sometimes I don't pray in the Spirit every day. Or if I do, I pray just a little bit in the Spirit. But do I really pray in the Spirit? For it's a weapon of my warfare. This morning in pre-service prayer, a handful of us were there. I want that handful to grow, folks. Do you really believe that we are called by God to reach this community? We're not going to do it without people gathering in prayer. And I know some of you, because of the distance, are praying at home. But there's something about praying together that also opens power. Jesus said where two or three are gathered together, he's there in a special way. I think when Jesus is there in a special way, he's there in power. But golly, 8:15 is so early. And then what am I going to do at 9? Go to small group. Go to Starbucks. I don't care what you do at 9. The weapons of our warfare, prayer is one. Prayer in the Spirit is another. Praying corporately is a third. Our divinely powerful for the casting down of strongholds. And because we don't do these things, I'm here to tell you we have bought into a lie that they don't make a difference. And why did the British want the Germans to believe their rockets did not make a difference? So they would stop shooting them. And Germany did. They thought their program failed or that they couldn't direct these missiles where sometimes they did significant damage. Now, this is very early. Our technology has definitely improved. The enemy has got us to believe, based on our lack of doing, that these things don't matter. And so we don't do them because he knows they do matter. They do matter. Prayer, one of the weapons of our warfare, which God has given us with divine power to demolish strongholds. Praying in tongues, a type of prayer. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe that there is such a thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit available today to any born again individually, and it comes with a prayer language in tongues. And this morning, our prayer team is going to be here. If you have not yet sought or if you have not yet received, there will be people here that will pray with you. And I want to encourage you, seek and seek and seek and seek until you find. This morning, some of you have not prayed in your prayer language for a long time. Oh, you prayed once or twice when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you haven't prayed in it. You haven't exercised it. You have not used this weapon of divine power. There's going to be people who are going to pray with you this morning that you can re-release that prayer language and begin to use it against the enemy, against the devil. There was a movie that came out several years ago. We actually own a copy here at the church. We showed it here. Called War Room. Remember the movie? Some of you remember a movie called War Room? About getting together in the prayer room. The prayer room was the war room. I walked in this morning and we had some fellowship there at pre-service prayer. And I said, folks, I want to remind you of something because the Holy Spirit just reminded me of this morning. We were sitting in a war room this morning. We were doing battle in the Spirit, in tongues, in English. We were doing battle for the future of this church. We were doing battle for this community. We were casting down strongholds that the enemy has built up in our community of hopelessness, of drug addiction, of alcohol addiction, of multiple other things, of lack of faith, of lack of Christianity. We were coming against all of these things. They were strongholds. I wonder how many of you were casting down strongholds this morning in your own private prayer time. I hope so, because some of you are great prayers, and some of you, I'm just stirring you up from what you already know, but some of the rest of us, we need to be challenged again. Prayer, speaking in tongues. Here's a third one this morning. powerful weapon, supernatural weapon, praise. Praise. The Bible tells us God inhabits the praises of His people. I cannot believe that anything that God inhabits does not have power attached. Why does the enemy keep you from praising? Why does the enemy make it possible that your kid throws up at the last moment so you can't be here before the music starts? But for some of you, it has nothing to do with your kid throwing up. Because you don't have any kids at home. It has everything to do with, the Starbucks line was too long, or you really didn't plan to be here on time to enter into the praise. Because there's power in praise, and the enemy has told you, it doesn't matter if I get there 12 minutes late. Most of the music is over. In fact, I'm kind of happy. I don't like the music anyhow. Is it possible that the reason you don't like the music has nothing to do with the drums or the songs that we choose? It's because the devil has got into your minds and into your hearts and convinced you that music in church doesn't matter. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I was going to say by the power of the Holy Spirit, but I think I have evidence in the Word of God, but I won't say that, but I do believe I have evidence in the Word of God. The music does matter. The praise does matter. It is a weapon of our warfare. Praising privately, praising when you're driving, very important. Corporate praise. The Bible says the Lord inhabits or is enthroned above the praises of His person. The Bible says that the Lord is enthroned upon the praises of John. It says people, corporate. There is a sense of the Spirit. There is a weapon that is released when the people of God get together to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who saved our souls and who is worthy of all praise. Prayer, just in general. Prayer in tongues. Praise. Weapons. Weapons of our warfare that we, because of our lack of practice of them, somehow have become convinced that they really don't matter. Or they don't matter enough. So we walk into church 10 minutes late. So we pray in tongues maybe once a week. So we pray for the blessing of our food and the and traveling mercies, but we haven't really sat down and interceded for the unsaved neighbor that lives next to us because I have not sat down or knelt down and in my home prayed for the Indian family on that side. Prayed for the Anglo family on that side. I know his name. I've met the Indian family. I just can't remember their name. Prayed for the Indian family across the street. Prayed for, it used to be a Japanese family who lived there. Next to the Indian family, another Indian family. Latino family. I don't know if they go to church. But your pastor. Praise. In the morning, in his home. But one of the weapons of my warfare, prayer, and prayer in the Spirit, that I could be using to demolish the strongholds that exist in the minds and the hearts of the neighbors who live in my neighborhood, has not been exercised. But I sure made sure I read the Family Circus that morning, and Dilbert, and Blondie. Hagar the Horrible. And I checked to see how many likes I got on my Facebook post. Because the enemy has got me to be so distracted that I don't believe, based on my practice, that I don't believe that those things matter because I don't do them. What about you? I told you I was going to step on toes. God loves you. You're going to heaven. But he has, and I told you this earlier, this is our address. This is our community. This is our neighborhood. These, the people that you go to school with, the people that you work with on your team, that is your mission field. Not just Peru, but right here. Are you exercising weapons, the weapons of your warfare, which are have divine power for the casting down of strongholds? Are you? Because that's God's division, not division, that is God's vision for you and for I. But it's going to cost you something. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about when God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. And I was going to continue that message. But really, the illustration still applies. Because if you're going to catch the dream, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We'll just say this isn't a worldly weapon. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Am I going to take these weapons, divine weapons, and start putting them to use? Because when God gives you a dream, he gives you a shovel. You got a part to do. God hears prayers. God answers prayers. God is involved in that. But are we praying them? Are we praying them consistently? We're using the prayer language. Oh my goodness, folks, you have a supernaturally inspired, endued prayer language that for most of us sits idle day after day, week after week, until a pastor preaches on using our prayer language in tongues, and then we start using it again. We have a divinely supernatural weapon in corporate praise, in corporate prayer. But for us to use that divinely supernatural weapon, for us to use the work that he has given us to do, it means that it's going to take some time and it's going to take some effort for us to start digging and breaking the hard ground and doing what God would have us to do. The first week I preached that when God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. One of the points that I had read, and I thought it was just fascinating when I heard this illustration, that God gives you the shovel so that you can dig the ditch that he will then fill with rainwater. But he's going to have us dig before he fills. You're praying for rain. Some of us used to sing, "There shall be showers of blessing." Remember that? Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Well, if you don't have your ditch dug, the Lord's not going to send the showers. If you don't have the place for those showers to come, why should he send them? Just because you sing the song? Folks, this morning, when this came to my mind and came to my heart to share with you, it came with also personal conviction by the Holy Spirit, because I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to the choir. I thought that Pastor Tim, I think it was 2 weeks ago, boy, because this is the last one we're going to talk about, the weapon. I thought Pastor Tim was so transparent with you. He talked about being in pastoral ministry for 30 years and then getting out to the farm and how his time in God's Word became almost non-existent. And I thought, oh, because the Word of God is living and active, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. There are things. Remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. There's things that the Word of God brings power. A lot of times it's an internal power. It's what stirs up our prayer. It's what also gives us additional power. But the Word of God, how much time have you spent in the Word? Prayer, praying in tongues, praise.
the Word of God. And Pastor Tim said he needed to get back into the Word of God, and he did. Here's what I thought. Here's what I thought when I heard Pastor Tim's message. And again, he did such a great job. We're so blessed to have him as a part of this congregation. I thought, if a man of God who pastored for 30 years and who had developed the habits of reading the Word of God into his life and prepping for messages and everything else, if a man of God who has done this for 30 years could only in a few months to a year slip to very little Bible reading, how easy it is for you and I. You've got to fight for these things because your enemy wants to convince you that they're unnecessary. But he doesn't just come up to you and say, Dylan, that's unnecessary. He doesn't come up to you and say, Michaela, that's unnecessary. Christy, he doesn't come up to you and say, that's unnecessary. You get a text. You get an Instagram notification. I get something on Facebook that tells me that such and such a theme park has announced a brand new roller coaster. And all of a sudden, I'm distracted off here and away from the weapons. Oh, he doesn't tell you they're unnecessary. He just distracts you away from them. I think that's all I got to say. I don't know. As you guys know, I'm a teacher more than a preacher. I want to instruct you. Now, I believe this is instruction, but since the Holy Spirit just poured this in, I don't have a landing for this, you know. Now, in conclusion, because I don't have in conclusion, I think I'm done. Would you want to come up and begin to lead us in some type of a response musically? Because I think I'm done. I might get inspired again during the singing here, but we have been lied to and we have believed the lie. Really, prayer doesn't matter that much. Praying in tongues doesn't matter that much. Corporate praise doesn't matter that much. We can go individual praise doesn't matter that much. The Word of God doesn't matter that much because we really don't give them the emphasis that the Word of God does. We are poor for it, and things that God wanted to do and strongholds that he wanted to break down have not been broken down, but they're going to start shaking, folks, because you're going to go home this afternoon, and you're going to re-engage. You're going to set down that device. You're going to do what I said the other few weeks ago when I talked about how do we pray at all times, every time that we pick our device up to check something, that's a reminder to pray first. You're going to continue to do that. Start doing that. You're going to start exercising these divine, powerful weapons. And we're going to start seeing strongholds shake.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.